Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending our webinar today. This is part two of LawLine's Expert on Call webinar series, and will center around vivid public speaking skills for the networking lawyer. Our panelists today are David Schnurman, CEO of LawLine, and Polly Rojas, CEO of the Public Speaking Pro. The style of this webinar will be interactive. So please take a moment to find the Q&A function on your Zoom panel and ask questions throughout the webinar. We'd like you to consider this to be a roundtable discussion where you feel encouraged to ask follow-up questions, introduce new questions, and allow David and Polly to address some solutions. David, would you like to take it away?
Thanks, Kathleen. And Polly, feel free to turn on your camera if you can. So. You can get started. And I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is David Schnurman. I'm the CEO of LawLine. I started LawLine about 11 years ago. Actually, I took it over. We had about 15 hours of courses. I was in law school. And over the past 10 years, we've built it up to 1,500 hours of courses. And we've worked with so many amazing faculty, over 1,000 faculty of attorneys from all over the country. And we've learned so much about public speaking and networking through them. I personally have taken a journey of working with Polly as my public speaking coach. I've done a number of keynotes in the legal space, and I've worked with her over the past year on improving my techniques, both in networking and public speaking. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to share with you all the amazing insights that she has, which it's really going to be a gift for us today. So thank you, Polly, for being here. Polly, if you could, and I know I told you I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Can you share just your background really briefly so people can get understand how you ended up sort of where you are today?
I would love to share my background. I come from the theater, and so my public speaking coaches were Shakespeare and Tennessee Williams and storytelling greats. So that's where my passion has always come from. And I come from a very academic and highly functioning family of entrepreneurs as well. And so I was able to bridge my passion for storytelling and communicating to help and inspire and guide dynamic leaders.
Fantastic. So let's get into it. My goal in these webinars, and just as Kathleen said, this is about getting value to everybody who's listening. So we want to make this as interactive as possible. So the more questions that we have through the chat function, the more we'll answer it. And what we're going to do is we're going to go right down and start answering some of the questions and delivering value right away. There's a question already. Delivering value right away from the bullet. So I just want to start off with sort of a vision. And I'll read you the questions. Don't worry, Polly, when we have them. 2 days ago, I was going. So the goal of this is twofold. We're going to focus on going to networking events and how to handle that, and some really great techniques that you're going to share, which we went over, and I can't wait till you share them. And then we're also going to talk about public speaking at the end. So definitely stay tuned for both of those, and they both interact with each other. And there's a real important theme that you're going to share that we went over on why they're so interactive together. But let's start with what we've all been in the situation. We're going to go into a room. We think there's going to be 100, 200 people in there. We don't really know many people, and we feel these butterflies in our stomach before we walk in. We're not really sure who to talk to or what to say, but it's a legal networking event. Maybe it's a bar association. And you walk in the room, you see 200 people around, and you're just sort of not sure what to do. How do you manage your nerves and anxiety in those situations, and what do you recommend just to get the ball rolling?
And Polly, just so you know, someone said, can you raise the audio? So could you make sure that you're speaking into the computer as closely as possible so everyone can hear you?
Perfect. How's this?
That sounds better. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for telling me. All right, so this is the best place to start is talking about nerves. And I love talking about nerves. There's so many great ways to go around nerves. The first thing that I would offer you listeners is that nerves and excitement are physiologically the same exact thing. It's just a mindset. One is a fear mindset and one is an opportunity mindset. And so what comes from an opportunity is it's all how making the decision of what you want to do. Do you want to see this as an opportunity to engage and connect and help people and be supportive? Or are you going to stand back and wait for people to come to you? Obviously, the first one is the most effective way to go about into a networking event.
But let's talk about that. So what do you do with that answer? So you're about to walk into a networking event. What does somebody, and so I'm very big in, for better or for worse, into actionable sort of things. And obviously things come from your thinking first. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with knowing that it comes from your nerves? How do you prepare yourself walking into an event to get the most value out of it? And obviously you said sort of knowing where you're coming from. So let's, if we can dive into that a little bit.
Right. So coming from a place where nerves, understanding that nerves are very me oriented. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh my God, what are people thinking about me? Oh my God, me, me, me. When you are going into something like a networking event with this opportunity mindset, your focus is outside of yourself. Your focus is on transcending and transforming instead of thinking about a transaction. So you are going into it with what can I learn about people? How can I remember people by asking what their name is and asking emotional questions instead of asking something like, hey, how are you? Maybe you say, hey, I'd love to know what your favorite thing about what you do is. Does that answer your question?
Sure. Yeah. And I think what I would love to do, and just to give structure, because you have a really great formula that I think I would love to give this value really, really early on, and then we can dive into a little bit more. Sure. Because it goes to knowing what to say and how what to talk about. Mm-hmm. If you can start kind of breaking through the passion mindset, the acronym that you have, that people can start writing down right now, and we can dive into that, because to me, that gives some people a real good toolkit when you're walking into a networking event.
Sweet, yeah, I'd love to share it. So I came up with the passion mindset, and it's an acronym, P-A-S-S-I-O-N. And I'll dive right into it. So passion, the P stands for being personally and professionally prepared with stories. And these have to be, they don't have to be long stories. It could just be things that make you passionate, that it could be golfing, it could be your kids. It could be that you saw a movie that really you just want to see if anyone else has seen it, right? What's your favorite food? Something that I'm always thinking about is food. And I love asking the question, you know, what would your last meal be? It's something it could be an unusual question because that's how people remember you, right? I usually think it's going to be Mexican food because I'm Mexican. You know, just going into something interesting. And the way to be interesting is to be interested in other people, being curious about them. So that's what the first one is, being prepared with personal professional stories. Professional stories mean something exciting that happened at work. Did you see someone that was going through a challenging time, an employee, a coworker going through a challenging time and how they overcome it, right?
And just so I understand, so somebody is thinking ahead of time. So you're going to a networking event and the purpose of this is you want to come with something to talk about.
Coming with something to offer. And that's what the great part about that is, it's all in your control, right? We're always constantly thinking about the things we want to do, the things that make us, that we're looking forward to, the things that are exciting for us, things that we love. It could be knitting, right? There's tons of knitters out there that you can connect with, right?
How many stories did somebody have in her head so they can use that as a conversational topic?
Can you say that again?
How many stories should they come up with?
It doesn't have to be that many. It could be at least having three in your back pocket. And obviously when you are listening to other people, there's so many cues that make you think about, oh yes, yeah, so if someone brings up their cats, you know, everyone has an association with cats. If someone talks about dogs or pets, something, constantly looking for a positive connection, it will spring just by listening to other people. So, thinking about stories that you love and then listening and finding connections, that's part of the preparation too, is when you're not in networking events, how good of a listener are you? And that's
got
great.
It. And, yeah. And to everybody listening, what I'm really asking for, my ask of you, is as we're going through this, what questions do you have that, you know, we'll get to about networking events? You signed up for this for a reason. So this is your opportunity, because this be interactive from the beginning. What is it about the questions or the passion? We're going to keep going through the content, but start putting them in the chat and we're going to get to them as soon as we have a chance. But what questions do you have that, because other people have them as well.
Cool. So ready for the A?
Yep.
All right. So the A stands for ask questions. Putting the focus off yourself is going to relax you. It's also going to make you incredibly charming, that you are curious and fostering this spirit of generosity towards other people. People are constantly seeking validation. That's Desmond Tutu, the spiritual leader who won a Nobel Peace Prize. His whole mission is to understand that the basic human need is to belong, right? So you're asking questions. What you're really doing is you're making people feel a sense of belonging within you, understood. And that's the greatest leaders give you a sense that you are the only person in the world for them, right? So asking questions, emotional questions, that's people will gravitate towards you and they'll want to talk to you. It's attractive behavior, asking questions for other people.
And I want to talk about that for a minute, because this is really a big point actually right now, that sense to belong. So I want to provide two specific examples that we had talked about before, about two questions that you can ask. Cal Fussman is a person who shared this, and the two questions that you can really get some engagement out of that are different. You don't want to use them all the time, but one is, what was the best advice you ever got from your father? Mm-hmm. And two is, who is your best friend and why? So those are the type of emotional questions I think that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like those may be too over the top, but certainly those lead people sort of to not think the typical conversation. But the basic connect to belong, let's dive into that a little bit, because you also said everybody has a need for validation. Mm-hmm. And so I think what's the power of that in networking, the needing to belong and the validation?
So glad you asked. I love this. This is one of my favorite topics. Very passionate about the inclusivity of it all. We'll get to that. One of my clients, Alana Winter, who you know, Dave, she's this amazing entrepreneur, beautiful and full brains. She's the perfect woman. She was the one that introduced me to the mirroring concept. And what it is there's a lot of studies that have showed that when you mirror someone's behavior, you are increasing your own empathy and their own empathy to want to give more. So one of these examples is, there was a Dutch psychologist who did this study with a waitress, and he told, the first thing he told her to do was be really sweet, really polite, say, great order, thank you, and that was it. The second part was to do that, but on top of that, just repeat back everything that the patrons were saying word to word and mirror their behavior. So if they tilted their head, she would tilt her head. The study found that every single time she echoed and mirrored back the patron, her tips doubled, right? And so what does that say? That mirroring works. People want to be seen, heard, and validated. Another one is, there was a university, they were doing this study with university students about negotiations. And in part of the negotiation is, they had the two negotiators just giving their own peace of mind and doing their own thing, right? And the other part was that they would mirror the behavior of the negotiator. So negotiations happened 67% more when people were mirroring each other. So again, it just giving the sense of belonging, of being heard, seen, validated, that it reaps enormous benefits, and people are eager to help out more.
What's the difference between seeking and giving as it relates to belonging?
Seeking validation and giving validation. Seeking validation is, I've told this to you before, Dave, but you don't want to give people, no one wants to be in charge of your own self-esteem, right? That's not an attractive behavior. You want to come in with confidence and be the one that gives people confidence. You do that by making people feel seen or understood, right? So if someone says, God, New York City, what a tough city, right? And you go, yeah, you know what? I get you. It is a tough city. Then someone is going to feel the sense that, oh, someone gets me. I feel like, I feel camaraderie. You know, as humans, we have a tribe mentality. So using that in a genuine way is a huge influential tool.
And one of the things that, and then we'll go on to S, is, yes. I really think this to me was a game changer when you said it, is when you're giving validation, mm-hmm. You have the power to make others belong. And that's what those the words that you had said to me.
Enormous power. Yeah, it absolutely, imagine you're the one who is giving confidence, that's what a leader is. They inspire action by putting confidence in the people that are following them. Go ahead.
No, and I was gonna say, and we're gonna touch back on that when we get to your I, yes. Because that's part of it. So let's, just to recap, because I interrupted your flow. P is personal and professional stories. Mm-hmm. A is ask emotional questions, and we gave two examples. Yeah. Now let's go to S.
S is smile, it's a game, right? So life is a game. If you come in with this game mentality, it's fun. We all love to play games, right? We love to watch games on TV. We love to play games with our friends. Games, they relax you. And when you are in a state of relaxation, then you can concentrate and stay in the present moment and your imagination soars, right? When you are in the present moment, you're listening to understand as opposed to listening and thinking ahead, because you have your own agenda of, oh, I want to be right. I want to be perceived as a leader. I want to be great. Because that's a disservice when our aim is to be effective communicators and to bridge connections. So just the act of smiling is sending messages to your brain that you're relaxed. And being in a relaxed state is incredibly attractive. So that's some, you know, just projecting ease, smile, I've got this, is going to win lots of people want to come and talk to you.
Great. So I'm going to actually go to two questions that just came in. Question number one is, I have a tough time extricating myself from an initial conversation, which may be comfortable, to continue working in a room, which may be uncomfortable. What can you recommend for easily leaving one conversation to continue networking without seeming dismissive of the people in that first conversation? Thank you for asking that question, because I have that same problem too. And I end up not wanting to be rude. So that's a good question.
Right. Well, when you are at a networking event, it's the common understanding that we're here to meet people, right? So it's okay to be very gracious and say, hey, great, it was really great to meet you, and be perfectly frank and say, I'm going to go and meet more people. That's obviously one way to do it. There's also visual cues, right? Like, oh, let me get your business card. And that is normally a cue that says, hey, I'm going to move on, right? And give them a nice validating compliment. A compliment has two parts. A compliment is, hey, it was great to meet you. The second part is payoff of what their action that's being praised did, right? It was great to meet you. I learned so much more about lawyers helping, you know, reaching out to the community. I'll never forget that, right? It's that's what makes a compliment genuine, the payoff of the action that person is being praised for. So get their business card and say something nice. The other thing is to...
And just feedback, I know you don't have headphones on, but just speak louder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry,
go ahead.
No, thank you for reminding me. So that's the business card, or hey, let me find you on LinkedIn so we can continue this another time. Right? That's another great way to do it. Another way to do it is to actually make plans, specific plans, of when you guys can continue to have this conversation. Hey, if you do wish to have another meetup, right? Hey, let's meet for lunch. I'm free Tuesday or Thursday, right? And the important part for that is to be specific of when you can meet, because that's what gives you credibility, as opposed to being the guy that's like, hey, let's hook up later. You don't want to be that person that's wheeling and dealing, because you don't want to be a sleazy networker, right? So if you really do want to follow up with them, make plans.
What if you don't want to follow up and you want to move on?
And if you don't want to follow up with them, it's just perfectly normal to say, it was so great to meet you. Thanks for enlightening me about light bulbs, or thanks for telling me about cats, whatever it is that you had, whatever meaningful thing you got out of it. Always seek meaning. There's always meaning, right? And my favorite way to end a conversation is to include them in meeting other people. Like, hey, this is you're a cool person. Let's go talk to that person over there together, right? Let's go do this together. Forming allies is my favorite way, because you're not fending for yourself, right? And then you're that person that has a friend with them, and you can include more people.
And I'll try to talk lower to match your volume. I got that feedback as well. So I really appreciate that, because the two things that I struggle with is I never want to feel like, I always hate the person who I'm talking to who's looking behind me for that next person to talk to. So I always struggle with not wanting to be that person, but I also don't want to get stuck for a half hour. And one tip that I would just share from my experience is I just put my hand out and shake their hand and say, nice to meet you. And that's a very clear signal that it's good to see you another time.
Right. That's a great visual cue. Right? Either give me your business card, you give them a business card, or shake your hand. Hey, let me find you on LinkedIn, or just be perfectly honest and say, hey, that was a great meeting you.
Great. And another question that came in is giving validation, how do you handle if you disagree with something someone says?
Oh, that's an amazing opportunity to show that you know how to deal with different different personalities. Like, hey, I'd never thought about something that way. Thank you for telling me about that side. Right? It happens if politics get, you know, brought up. Like, oh, I've never thought about that way. I'm gonna digest that. I appreciate appreciating the differences. You know, it's, again, it's a point of view. It's something to validate in somebody else.
Great. So just to recap, P, personal professional stories. A, ask emotional questions. Smile. It's a game. Mm-hmm. And then the next S.
All right. The next S is support. Be the most supportive person in the room. Be the one that wants to help the most, that wants to add value the most, that wants to connect the most, right? The more you give, the more you get. So be the one that is actively seeking who he can help, who you can help, right? Support each other, and you will see that will come back to you 100 times over.
Great. Pretty obvious what you're saying there. And I assume what you're saying is you're talking to somebody. What I always look to is how can I be a connector for that person? So the easiest way that I think of in terms of support is, who do I know that I can connect this person with that would be a value to both of them? And so that's usually a quick win.
It's really that easy. And also, the other side to that is support to support, and without any expectations. Because if there are strings attached, we'll feel that. We'll get that agenda. So be the person that supports for the sake of adding value and making a difference, and it for the feel-good feeling that you are giving.
Okay, let's go to I, because I like this one.
I is having the includer mindset that we touched on for how to end conversations. Hey, this is a really great conversation. I know someone that I think would really love to hear about this. Let's go meet this person, right? Or, hey, let me introduce you to this person. Being the person that is waiting to be included and hoping someone's going to pay attention to them. Instead, you're the one that's going out there and making all of these inclusions for other people.
Yeah, and the reason I like that one is because you're always at a networking event where you see somebody standing by themselves. Mm-hmm. And generally what do? Is I don't talk to them because, well, if they're by themselves, I don't know. It's very intimidating. So can you give some advice to the person who's not already in a conversation, who's sort of standing by themselves and probably is waiting and begging to have a conversation, maybe staring at their phone? How do you get that person included? And also, I guess, help yourself out at the same time.
Oh, there's so many great things. I think that the easiest person to approach is the person that is standing by themselves, because they're looking at their phone because they don't know what else to do. So you're basically saving them, right? So there's so many great things that you can do to approach them. You can make a friend. You can say, hey, this is my first time at this networking event. You want to go grab some dessert with me? I hear it's great. You know, want to join me? Asking people to join is heaven. It's music. You're saying, hey, you're cool. I want to be a part of whatever energy you're bringing. That it feels so good from being the person that's alone, someone wanting to hang out with me. You can get your bearings. Be like, hey, I've never been to this networking event before, but you look like you're a regular, or you look like someone who knows how to work a room. You know, validating. It all comes back to validation. Do you have any tips for me? Or saying, bringing lightness, right? Like, hey, what do you think about these name tags? Yay, nay, do they make me look, you know? Humor, questions, emotional questions. Hey, I'm curious. Acknowledging the reality of the moment. Hey, I saw you standing over there. I was curious. What is it that brought you here? Who are you looking to meet?
And I think that those are really great examples. And I want to go back to what I feel is the main point of, the main takeaway that I see, but I could be wrong, for the networking component. Are you a seeker? And if you're a seeker, your life is dependent on others. Or are you a giver? And are you the one in power? And you have the power to make others belong. And so the reason I love that is because I feel like too often in a networking event, I take the role of the seeker, waiting for others to join in. And I would love to shift my thinking to the gamifying that you say, and, you know, smiling and seeing how many other people can I make feel like they belong. So I think the inclusiveness is a real opportunity to do that.
And it goes back to nerves versus opportunity. If you're nervous, you are not going to be inclusive of other people because you're thinking about yourself and how you're coming off, right? When you have this opportunity mindset, you see someone that's by themselves, you say, hey, what a great opportunity to join forces and meet more people together. More manpower.
At the right. So we're up to, and I'll do a recap of all the letters at the end. We're up to O.
O. O is another wonderful one. Others. Make it all about others. Tell stories about others. Praise others. How you speak of other people is how people will speak of you. Why? Because you become what you pay attention to. If I'm the negative person that says, oh my God, another networking event, this sucks, who are you going to meet? You're going to bond with people that feel the same exact way. And it's great to bond with people, but you will not foster as deep a connection when you have the same negative outlook on something as a kind of the potential incredible opportunity to bond over the things that feel good. That's a lot more long lasting. So speak of others and their successes, and that's how people will see you as.
Great, and I'm sorry, you just got another reminder for the audio. Okay. This is our lesson. We will make sure to check the audio ahead of time.
Yes.
You know, you gotta live and learn. So thank you, everybody. Well, we're gonna do our best. Okay, and so others is essentially at the end of the day, you're asking questions. Is that what essentially we're talking about here and learning about them?
Mm-hmm. Others. Talk about something that inspired you that somebody else did.
It doesn't have to be the other person you're talking to.
No. Another question that gets brought up is, I don't know what to talk about. Validate other people, right? I work with incredible, innovative, self-actualizing entrepreneurs. You, David, you're one of them. Lauren Boyer. I work with incredible people and I love talking about them. And it's because I get to talk about that, people will ask me questions about them and how I see them. How did I meet them, right? All of a sudden, I'm highlighting who I am as a person by the way I speak of the people I am connected to.
Great. Thank you for clarifying. I think that really is interesting because my mind was thinking the person I'm talking to. But that, again, is that's bringing the value and that's thinking potentially of the person you can connect them with. And it gives you guys both something to talk about that's not you or them. So neither of you feel on the spot.
Right. Perfect.
And let's round this up with the N.
The N, very simple. It's names. Remember names. Every time I do a corporate exercise and I do the remembering names exercises, without a doubt, 90% of the room says, I'm so bad with names. I don't ever remember names. And that is such a disservice. It's such an easy thing to do if you decide it's an easy thing to do. But remembering names is
the same. All right. Tell us how.
Relationship builder. How do you do it? You place an emotional association with that person. Right? So it could be, for example, I met someone named Bruce and I think of Batman when a Bruce Wayne. So I make an association of like Batman putting his arm around Bruce. So I'll never forget that that's Bruce's name. It really helps when you can have a humorous association because when something's funny to us, we remember it that much more. So if you're in a room with a lot of people, make immediate emotional associations. If you meet a Mary, oh, my mom's name is Mary. Picture them talking to your mom. And it's much quicker than you think because we're processing millions of bits of information a second. So when we put our mind to that, our mind says, okay, let's do it.
Great. And so in 1 minute, I'm going to just ask you to just quickly with bullet points. So if somebody's writing stuff down, you can just say passion and the one thing the letter stands for. Yeah. Then what we're going to do is we're going to go through the list of bullets that are on the description. And then we're going to go into what makes a great public speaker. And I think that part's going to be really engaging because you're going to not only learn about what makes a great public speaker, but you're also going to see how it ties into networking. So I just want to make sure if anybody has any more specific questions about when they're going to a networking event, how to handle it. Because our thought process is here, you have to be excited and energized to want to be there to lead the opportunities. So if you can just one more time recap what passion is really quick, and then we'll go through the bullets and then get to public speaking.
Definitely. P, personal and professional preparation with stories. So it's pa-pa-pa. A, ask emotional questions. S, smile. It's a game. S, support others. I, includer mindset. O, others. And N, names.
Fantastic.
Holly, so, I have one question about ask questions. So yes. With asking questions, I love the idea of asking others, you know, emotional questions. I think David made a great point about asking questions that are surface, or below the surface questions, you know, questions that are substantial, that get substantial information. But I'm wondering, are there any questions that you think are inappropriate for a first time networking event that you should try to steer away from? And that could be questions or topics, basically anything that might put you in a bad light with someone you're networking with.
I think it has to do with emotional intelligence. Don't ask how much does somebody make. Don't ask right away how can I get a job here, because we haven't earned that person's trust. So emotional questions are meant to build trust and credibility and connection. So if right away we know that money, politics, and religion are really hot topics, that if you're not ready to embrace anyone's point of view on it, then don't ask that question. And can you introduce me to this person right away? Hey, when it's a self-serving question, it's not worth asking it unless you already have a bond and trust with that person.
Great answer. Thank you.
Thank you for asking it.
Thanks, Kathleen. And then, just want to go over a couple more questions, and you had mentioned them before, but I think they're worth really repeating. How do you effectively interject into an ongoing conversation with somebody else? Because that's generally what it is at an event. So we talked about obviously including somebody, but remind us how to effectively interject and be part of that conversation.
Absolutely. The best way that I have found that works for people is when you interrupt someone, just say, hey, goes back to validating that person, setting that person up for success. Hey, I heard you talking about this subject. I'm so interested in it. I'd love to listen in on it. I won't interrupt anymore. You know, validating that what they're saying is important to you. Another way to say it is, hey, you were talking about visiting Cuba. Tell me more about that. Tell me more. That phrase is so powerful. Tell me more about this. Tell me more about that. Tell me more. And it's also a great way, because I know one of the questions is, what happens when I space out or I don't know how to continue a conversation? Asking people to tell you more is a beautiful way to, you look at an interesting, charming, and people always want to talk about themselves. Always. Charming people, I love this topic of charm. Charming people know what they know. They are invested in learning about other people and their point of view and upholding it and finding places of agreement.
Great. We're about halfway through, and I wanted to start getting into the public speaking component, and then we can circle back here. So if anybody has more networking conversations, but just can you leave us, and we'll get back to this at the end as well, what would be your top, you know, takeaway from your point of view, that if someone's to take one thing away from how to be a better networker when going to an event, what would you want them to remember from this first 30 minutes?
Be curious, be inclusive, and be generous.
Great. There's probably an acronym there too.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about another important component that goes to networking. Let me just see really quick. I think, yes, we will send you a recording. Somebody just asked. So the next area that we want to talk about is public speaking. So this is a really important area for attorneys, because whether they're doing a presentation in the office, whether they're doing at a networking event, whether they're giving a keynote, it's a really important skill to have and something that I know you work very closely with your clients on. So let me just ask a big general question. What makes a great public speaker?
A great public speaker knows the power of language and the power that one has to inspire actions in others based on language, based on their voice, the ability to control their voice, the ability to control the room, and the ability to really inspire and empower other people to take action.
And what are the three, so take us through, if you're working with, say, me as a client, or yeah, an attorney as a client, and let's just say they're putting together a presentation or a keynote, take us through the process and how you or take them through the process that we went together, how you went from what I started with to where we ended off. It's, you know, starting with the questions that you asked me in the beginning, the three questions you asked me, and going from there. So people can start. I would love, you know, for somebody who's thinking about this to be able to take some notes and utilize some of this content to try experimenting with it.
Yeah. And you know what? This is my personal observation, is that lawyers and actors are almost the same. And it's so cool. It turns me on just thinking about that, because we're all fighting for a cause, and it's all about language. And some of my favorite movies are about lawyers, like My Cousin Vinny, or To Kill a Mockingbird, Inherit the Wind, A Few Good Men. There's so many incredible movies, and it's all about the power of your speech and your voice and how you reach other people. So to answer your question, what the first thing to know before you start anything is asking these three questions. What do you want your audience to feel? What do you want your audience to do? And what do you want your audience to know? Do you want your audience to feel empowered? Do you want your audience to feel understood? Do you want your audience to feel angry and take action, right? And what do you want them to do? Do you want them to sit there and listen to you? Do you want them to go sign a petition? Do you want them to go buy your book? Do you want them, what's the call to action? And what do you want them to know? What are the statistics? What are the stories that are going to really make your message powerful? So those were the three questions.
I think a good example, if you can remember on the spot, is could you share with me what you want your clients to know, feel, and do when you're working with them?
Absolutely. So the number one thing, unquestionably, is I want my clients to feel invincible, to feel like they have an irresistible story that they love to tell. So that is my modus operandi. And it's different for everybody. How we get there is different, but that is how I empower my clients. What I want them to do is to take them through what their message is, how we break it down. What are the stories that we can tell? So we work with the storytelling structure and what makes it effective without the fillers, without all of that jazzy stuff that we don't need. And then what do I want them to know are all the techniques that we go through with you, right? How do you project credibility and confidence? How do you speak like a leader? How does a leader move, or a speaker that has enormous influence? What are some of the language power phrases they can use? So it's all that stuff.
So here's a relevant question that just mm-hmm. came in. Related to public speaking, I recently gave a webinar, and you get no immediate feedback, which I found challenging. For example, you don't know how your slides are being received, or if anyone finds your jokes funny. Any suggestion during webinar talks? As you're having one right now?
Yeah, so it was cutting out a little bit for me. So there were too many slides and jokes.
So let me try again. So okay. Related to public speaking, I gave recently gave a webinar, and I got no immediate feedback, which I found challenging. For example, you don't know how your slides are being received, or if your jokes are funny. Any suggestion in giving a webinar, as we are now?
The first thing that comes to mind is, oh well, like when you have that sense, that detachment of whether it's your slides worked or your slides didn't, it's okay. As long as, did you enjoy the webinar? Did you have a good time? Did the time fly? I think you can gauge how well something went if you felt good about it. I think that's the most important part. And the second part is, maybe that is the feedback, that it's such a tenuous thing. I think the most important thing is, do you like it? How did you feel about it? And if you could, why don't you send a questionnaire, a 5-question questionnaire, something, a very quick thing that people can give you feedback on?
Well, and that's a really great question, because, you know, when doing a webinar is very different, as we are now, than speaking in front of an audience of 100 people or in an audience of 10 people. Mm-hmm. Do you train clients differently when they're teaching like this versus teaching in person? And is it more challenging even for you to do a webinar versus speaking in public?
It's so, I related back to training in acting. So there's a difference in training for the theater and a difference with training for the camera. It's, your work is still resonant. It's just the you play the space you're in. So I'm not going to gesticulate and go crazy and yell like I would on a stage for a camera. The camera is more intimate. And the difference is when you're on stage, you go to the audience. And when you're on camera, the camera comes to you. So the movement is more subtle. There's, the camera picks up everything. So it's the exact same way. You just play the space you're in.
Great, thanks. And thanks for the question. Really keep them coming. You really know if you're having that question, somebody else is too. All right, so you mentioned no, feel, or do. And then just one more follow-up on that. Is there an exercise that you can provide? Like, so if an attorney is doing a presentation for other partners in the firm versus to clients, obviously there's a whole different scenario, but is there a exercise that they can do to help them answer those three questions?
I think being very clear on your intentions. What is your objective? And can you say that in 10 words or less? I work with people that have client presentations that are doing strategies and scenario planning. And I say, okay, can you break it down for me as simple as possible? And they can't do it in less than a paragraph. So then I have to go in and say, what is it that you want to do? Do you prefer scenario one or do you want to prefer scenario two? What is the intention? Getting so clear on the intention. And when you do that, you have purpose. Your GPS is on. And that's, I think, the single most important thing to do.
And just to be clear, when you say no, feel, or do, mm-hmm. do they have to answer all three, or is it one of the three depending on what they're presenting?
It can be depending on the presentation, or the most important one is the feeling in the room, and then I would say, what do you want them to do? Because that will dictate what you want them to know.
Okay.
Starting with feeling, what do you want them to do with this feeling, and how do you get there with what do you want them to know?
Okay, so a client such as me, you asked me that question, which you did, and mm-hmm. we came up with that. Then what? What's the next step if I'm putting together? Let's say it's a 10-minute presentation for a client, just so we have a specific example, on some new opportunity to work with the firm and, you know, some sort of way we can help them grow their practice or, you know, work with them. What's the next step for me?
So the next step is figuring out the story. What stories will highlight this? Because we're hardwired to listen to stories. It's so much better to listen to a story than it is to just numbers and data and statistics. They're still important, but first we figure out what is the story and what is the personal connection that the speaker has to the story? And does it, are you serving the client's needs with the story? So once we figure out the story, we figure out the statistics. Then we have the backup. Then we have the left brain coming in. And then when you have stories and when you have the data and the statistics, then you have an incredible influence.
And this question actually might help with the story. Your answers to the stories might help with this question, or you might have a different answer. I think it's a really good question. In giving technical legal presentation, often the material can be very dry. Mm-hmm. I've seen many failed attempts to inject levity or vitality into such presentations. Do you have suggestions for making an otherwise dry topic more palatable while still conveying the authority and confidence? It's a really important question for an attorney.
Yes. Well, I'm a huge, huge fan of metaphors and also tone. What is the tone of the presentation? Are you doing who are you doing it for, right? Is this a murder trial, or is it something a little bit, there can be a little bit more levity, right? It's honoring the intention of the client, of your audience, right? So doing a 1-hour drama is different than a 30-minute comedy. So I'm not going to play the 1-hour drama like a comedy because it's a disservice to the story. So knowing your audience is incredibly important to picking the tone. And then using metaphors, if something is incredibly dense, what you're doing with metaphors is you are engaging the right brain, the emotional side. Getting that is just as important as getting the message across with numbers and the statistics and the data.
Okay, and just thank you. We have 15 minutes remaining, so I wanna make sure we round in the this public speaking component. So you said start with, what do you want the audience to know, feel, or do? You talked about stories. Mm-hmm. For me, I use this word, and I like this word. Learning the story component was a game changer. Because you also said to do it in, for me, active tense. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. is that something you think is important for attorneys as well? And if so, can you explain what that means? And can you give an example?
Oh, yes. So I think keeping things in the present and using dialogue instead of narration are crucial storytelling elements. For example, I can say, I went to the store and the guy said to me he wanted me to, and then there was a bad guy who held me at gunpoint. Versus, I'm at the store, a guy in a sweatshirt comes up to me, he holds up the phone or the gun in front of my face and he tells me, give me your wallet or I kill you. Right, then you're engaging the emotional side. It emotionally tracks in the now of nows. It makes it urgent, and we're there with you. The conflict is real versus something that already happened and the narration of it.
Right. So, and not being an attorney, I guess it's a little hard to. I don't want to put you on the spot to give a legal example of that, but I certainly wanted you to keep on going with the second story and hear what happened. So
right.
No, I was going to say, I felt that in a speech that I was giving that you helped me on, just to give an example from my side, when I was running in a marathon. When I originally did the speech, I told the story about when I ran the marathon. You made me run the marathon during the speech and take people through the pain that I was having. And so it was much more engaging. So so we talked about no, feel, or do. We talked about stories. Is there anything else you can give so people can start working on the speech that they have right now, or as a technique?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. One thing that I am a big proponent of is working on your voice, getting into a relationship with your voice. In order to control the room, you need to know how to control your voice. So, and I see this mostly with women, that there's a greater timidity with the women that I work with. And I do lots of vocal exercises with them because I want them to feel really comfortable with their own voice. It's the tool that is, it's an incredible tool what we have. So I always tell my clients, I'm pretty sure I told you this, Dave, that I want you to read out loud for 20 minutes every single day so that you can practice getting your voice out and you get into a relationship with your voice and it's free. It's incredible training that you can do on your own time, and it can be anything you want it to be, but reading out loud and working on your voice is a crucial element for being a very dynamic speaker. And vocal variation, the rate, the inflection, the pitch, the dynamic, playing around with that is huge. So working on your voice, I cannot emphasize that enough. I think I even told you to get a bat, David, and hit, you know, strike the bat on a pillow and go, ha, ha, just to get your voice out. And so you know what it's like to have a grounded voice.
So two things about the voice, and this goes to the earlier question to the person who asked about the otherwise dry topic. Mm-hmm. The voice actually can help with that potentially, because even if the topic's dry, if you have intonation in the way you talk, which I'm trying to do right now, not probably successfully, you can at least keep people engaged. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, I recommend everybody do the bat exercise. Maybe close your door if you're in an office or do it at home. But I can't tell you how uncomfortable it is to hit a pillow with your bat and scream as loud as you can. And I can't tell you how energizing it is afterwards to work on it.
Right, and when you get in front of a large group of people, it's less uncomfortable than it was before because you got comfortable with uncomfortable situations.
So obviously we can't cover everything in the next 5 minutes on public speaking, but I do want to give somebody who wants to do some more work on their own, because I know we work together for 3 months, once a week, and I would do the presentation, you would listen, you'd give me feedback, I would do it again, we would record it all in our studio, and over time, we were able to fix that and improve on that. How can somebody on their own continue to work on their speech and know how they're moving the right path? Or is it difficult to do without the constant feedback from somebody else?
Well, I'm a huge fan of finding your coach, finding someone that makes you feel inspired, that is working, that works with you with your strengths, as opposed to, I have had people that have come to me that their coaches were harping on the things that they need to work on, the weaknesses. So finding your right coach is important. And there are places that you can practice. For example, you can go to, there's meetups that you can go to all over the city. You can go to, I always encourage people to go to parties, go and speak and engage with people at, you know, PTA meetings or soccer games. Go and meet people and make it, it's a muscle, right? A speaking muscle, and be engaging. And I love also go and Google and YouTube great speeches. What makes someone give a great speech? How did they move it? The power of observation and seeing when it's done really well and when it isn't done as effectively, I think is a great free method to do.
So great. Thank you. And this is actually a real question. And it actually, we were going to get to that in a minute, but I'll use it now. And there's no harm in a few minutes early. The question was, can you tell us what coaching services you offer and how we can get in touch with you, which let's do that now. And then we'll end. I like to always end on a value, not on contact information. So this is a good opportunity to share what you do, how you do it, who you work with, and how people can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So I do one-on-one coaching like I do with you. And I also am creating a virtual public speaking skills workshop because I've had many people ask me, you know, I don't have the time to get to someplace. I'm very busy. And this is a great way for a virtual workshop to come to you in the comfort of your own home. And it's very cost effective. So I do that in public speaking one-on-ones. And as a gift to you and the people that are listening, if they go to my website, which is thepublicspeakingpro.com, I'm offering free one-on-one consultations over the phone. So you can shoot me an email and tell me that you heard us here at your webinar, this webinar, and I would be so happy to guide you in the right direction, give you specific feedback if that's what you would like.
Did you share your email? If not, can you share it again?
Sure. So it's Paulie, my name, P-A-U-L-I-E, and it's very New York, Paulie, at thepublicspeakingpro.com. Or you can just go to the website and thepublicspeakingpro.com. And you can shoot me an email there and let me know that we met here.
Great. And in terms of the virtual speaking seminar, we're going to be partnering with Paulie on that, putting something together specifically for lawyers. Mm-hmm. We will give you more information on that in the future. It's just something that there's going to be tremendous value on, and I think everybody should take part in that if you have the time. And I see another chat question. I can't see what it is. And I want you, Paulie, just to think of one to two things of value that you're going to end on. And I'm going to, I'm giving you a warning as I'm going to share one more bit of information. And then we can, if there's no other questions, we'll end a few minutes early. I always like that when you have 1 to 2 minutes to spare and you can use that before you go to your next meeting. So what I wanted to share is that LawLine is proud to be offering group subscriptions right now. It's something we've been doing for a long time. We've really improved the services that we have. We work with firms from 5 to 100. And we do, we have an app. We have 1,500 hours of courses, but we also do things like this where we work with speakers and design courses specifically for firms as well. We're really excited to be bringing you this webinar, but also working with firms and the unique challenges that they have as they scale. And we've gone through a lot of that on our own. And so that is something that I'm always happy to share. And you can just email support@lawline.com. I'm always looking for feedback from others. If you want to talk to me, learn more about group subscriptions, or learn more about LawLine, my email is david@lawline.com. And we really appreciate all the feedback in this seminar. Please provide the website one more time. What I typed is not available on public domain. Can you share your website one more time?
Sure. It's thepublicspeakingpro.com.
Got it. So they had Public Speaking Pro, so thepublicspeakingpro.com. Got it. Thank you so that's somebody who really wants to find your site. So I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you, Paulie, taking your time to share. I will also share, Kathleen, if you can share when we send out the information. I did a talk, so I will share with you the talk and a 2-minute highlight of the talk that without Paulie, I would not have been able to do what we did. I spoke at the Clio Cloud Conference, and I spoke in front of 250 attorneys on how to be more fearless and focused in your practice. I can tell you what I started with Polly and what we ended up with was completely night and day. And it was so transformational for me that I knew I had to get it Polly in front of as many people as possible, including every single one of our members and customers if they have the opportunity. So I'll share with you the link for the 2-minute clip as well as the video if you want to see some of the things that she was talking about today, which was the active stories, the intonation, and hopefully I did as many things as you said I tried to do.
You killed it, David.
Oh, okay, thanks. So if you can end on value, both in the public speaking component and the networking component, that the final takeaways, and then we will call it a day.
Yes. Well, I think this was transformational for me. I think it applies to both networking and public speaking. But when you change the way that you speak, it changes the way that you think. And when you change the way you think, it changes the way you see the world. And when you change the way you see the world, the way you see the world changes, and they see you differently. So how do you want to be perceived and speak in those ways? Because it really changes the world.
Love it. Awesome. And that applies to both networking as well as public speaking.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Polly. Kathleen, thank you for hosting. I'll give it back to you. If you can share anything you wanted to share and when our next seminar is on LinkedIn, which I think is coming up next week.
Definitely. Thank you, David. Thank you so much, Polly, for joining us as a panelist today. I do want to reiterate what David offered to the audience. We are going to be sending out the recording as well as a written transcript of today's webinar so that can provide you with some takeaway value. And we also, as the next webinar in our series, next Wednesday at 1 p.m., we're going to be having a webinar hosted by David as well as Joe Applebaum, who is the CEO of Ajax Union. It's a back-to-back marketing agency. And Joe is actually going to be walking us through a webinar called LinkedIn for Lawyers, a surefire way to grow your client list in 2018. So Joe's going to walk us through how to optimize your LinkedIn profile and make sure that your firm is getting the awareness that it is looking for this year.
And if I can just jump in, Kathleen, it's not your typical seminar where it's like how to use LinkedIn and here's the basics. It's really going to be of value to help you maximize who your relationships are and how to use them to help you grow your practice and get more clients and get more networking skills out there. Build your network. So it's going to be a lot of value. So I hope everyone has the opportunity to join or listen to the on demand.
Great. Thank you so much for attending, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.